Hello, and welcome to the Occult London Podcast. This is a new podcast dedicated to exploring magic, mysticism, the Kabbalah, as many other topics of interest. In this episode, as with others, we are exploring different concepts in relation to the Kabbalistic Tree of Life. I'm your host, Will, and I will be guiding you on this journey through the Kabbalistic Tree of Life. As I said before, I'm not an expert on this, but rather a student like you all. And this is a project for you to learn and also sort of share ideas. So if you like the podcast, please make sure to visit our website at www.occultlondon.co.uk, where you can subscribe to the show. In this episode, we will be following on from the previous ones and discussing the Sephira of Kesed, which is the fourth Sephira on the Tree of Life, also known as Mercy or Gedula and attributed to the planet Jupiter. This is the first Sephira below the Abyss Dart, which we spoke about last week, and so it receives the full impact of the Ain force via the lightning flash from Bina, and is also the second on the positive pillar, sitting directly below Chochmah and opposite Geburah. Before we begin, I wanted to read an Orphic hymn to Jupiter, as I felt it might be particularly relevant to this Sephira. So this is how it goes. O Jove, much honoured, Jove supremely great, to thee our holy rites we consecrate, our prayers and expiations, King divine, for all things to produce with ease through mind is thine. Hence Mother Earth and mountains swelling high proceed from thee the deep and all within the sky. Saturnian King descending from above, magnanimous commanding sceptred Jove. All parents, principle and end of all, whose power almighty shakes this earthly ball. Even nature trembles at thy mighty nod, loud sounding, armed with lightning, thundering God. Sourest of abundance, purifying King, O various form from whom all natures spring, propitious, hear my prayer, give blameless health, with peace divine and necessary wealth. So from that lovely quote from the Orphic hymns, you know, there's an awful lot of different material there, which gives you a bit of an idea about what this Sephira is about expansion, about forms, wisdom, and, you know, generosity. So, yeah, it's definitely worth having a read. In terms of the key correspondences for this particular Sephira, so obviously the title is Kesed, which means mercy. The name of God is Al, or El, and the archangel is Zadkiel, which means justice of God. The angelic host is the Chashmalim, which is shining ones. The astrological correspondences is Zadak, or Zadek, which is Jupiter. The tarot correspondences is the four fours of the pack. And obviously the elemental correspondence is water. In terms of the path text for this particular Sephira, it goes as follows. The fourth path is called the cohesive or receptacular intelligence, and is so called because it contains all of the holy powers, and from it emanates all of the spiritual virtues with the most exalted essences. These emanate one from another by the power of the primordial emanation, the highest crown. The magical image of the Sephira is an old and mighty king sitting on a sapphire throne, robed in blue and violet, and a golden crown on his head, and he is also holding a scepter and an orb in his hands. Other titles of the sphere include Gedula, which means majesty or greatness, and in terms of the colours, we have in Atzeluth we have deep violet, Bria we have blue, Yetzirah we have deep purple, not the band obviously, and Isaiah we have deep azure flecked with yellow. In terms of the correspondences, the microcosm, so we have the memory and the ruach, and in terms of the body, it's the left shoulder. Grade of initiation, and this is the Golden Dawn correspondences, would be 7-4, which is Adeptus Exemptus. And those are the main ones. So in terms of the actual sphere itself, let's kind of talk a bit more about that in a bit more detail, just so we can kind of really understand what is happening with this particular sphere. So it's referred to as the cohesive intelligence because it contains all of the holy powers or the energies from the top three Superna triad. So it's here in Kesed that all the unmanifested power of the Ain is kind of gathered and gradually dispersed down the tree of life into manifestation. This is the first sphere of the Microprosopus, or the manifested universe. So prior to Dart being considered to be a sephira in its own right, Kesed is considered to be the first sephira in the formative world. So this kind of explains the phrase, it contains all of the holy powers and from it emanate all of the spiritual virtues. It's the beginning of form, but it's not in the sense of physical matter. It's rather the kind of the concepts and the principles behind forms and the force that enables them to further develop. And this again is why, you know, the symbol of the king is quite relevant here, because if you think of a king ruling a kingdom, it's through the generosity and wisdom of the ruler that people are enabled to kind of build lives and businesses. So the ruler, and I'm not kind of advocating dictatorships, but the ruler brings about peace and stability so that other forms can flourish within that society. So it's from that kind of concept of bringing form and peace and harmony that things can flourish. Kesed sits on the third plane of the tree, forming a polarity with Geburah, Mars. So it's best understood in comparison to that more fiery Sephira, which is on the other side. So Kesed is mercy, whereas obviously Geburah is severity. And in this sense, we can talk about it being love, whilst Geburah could be described as will. This is easily understandable, again, if we use the analogy of a king ruling the kingdom. So, you know, obviously the generous and kind king gives away his wealth, feeds his country, ensures that everyone is well looked after and healthy and happy. On the other hand, the king in Geburah would be kind of the opposite. So expecting huge amounts of work from people, very little rewards, more of a sort of taskmaster in terms of his approach to his people. But however, I mean, it's really a combination of the two factors that enable things to flourish. So, you know, the king in Kesed, there is the danger that potentially people could get fat and lazy and not want to do any work. Likewise, in Geburah, it could become very aggressive and fiery, and, you know, they need a bit more generosity and a bit more love about themselves. It's enabled things to flourish. But you need both aspects within the individual to ensure that things happen and kind of balance is maintained. You know, it's obviously like the thing that's too much of one thing or another can be a bad thing. So we always want to kind of find the middle way. William Gray, who's a very famous magician from the Cheltenham area, said this very well when he talks about his ladder of lights, when he said, "Descending the tree of position of Kesed shows us that the divine one manifests as mere before severity became a necessity. And as we ascend the tree, we learn that we cannot fully expect to enter the mercy of providence before divine justice has dealt with us. Nevertheless, it assures us that no matter how severe our tests and trials, mercy and beneficence awaits us ultimately. Geburah is the stick and Kesed the carrot, providing the oldest incentives for doing anything." And Dion Fortune as well says this of Kesed, which I think is particularly relevant as well. "The loving father, the protector and preserver, it balances with mercy the severity of Geburah. It is anabolic, or upbuilding, in contradistinction to catabolism, the downbreaking of Geburah. These two aspects are very well expressed in the magical images associated with these two sephira. These magical images are both kings, that of Kesed on a king on his throne, and that of Geburah, a king in his chariot. In other words, the rulers of the kingdom in peace and in war, the one a lawgiver and the other a warrior. And that's from The Mystical Kabbalah, which is a book I would highly, highly recommend if anybody is interested. So, because Bekesed's the last Sephir before the Abyss, traditionally it's considered to be the last station where any consciousness can reside, due to the fact that in the above, the Abyss is deemed unknowable. So it's for this reason that the Sephir of Kesed, or Gedula, is said to be the sort of residing place of the hidden masters, or adepts, who guide humanity via the mediating influence of Tiferet and Yesod. These hidden plane masters are souls, through hard work, have really kind of escaped the wheel of life and death. And one of the images associated with this is actually the Wheel of Fortune, which is also linked with the card of the tarot. And, you know, we have other concepts such as the Bodhisattva, which is, you know, people that have actually ascended to this level and then chosen to come back and help you and guide humanity. I mean, this is these are some of the kind of main points of the Sephira. The virtue of Kesed is meant to be obedience, which fits in very well with the concept of will, Geburah, and love, which is Kesed. However, obviously the obedience it speaks of is not necessarily obedience in the normal sense, but rather kind of aligning oneself directly with the divine. So, for instance, this is another quote from Knight when he says, "At the level of this Sephira, the will of the individual is completely in harmony with the will of God. Thus, obedience does not mean the willingness to take orders. What is implied is that the soul who has achieved the grade of Kesed initiation is so aligned with the will of God that his own will is the same as the will of God, and so he can do no evil. It is completely foreign to his nature." As we've already mentioned, the planet attributed to this Sephira is Jupiter. And so this is the sphere of expansion, love, emotions, generosity in all things. Also the sphere of building wealth, as well as building one's waistline. The god name is El, which means God or Divine One. And William Gray has an interesting point again when he links this with Baal or Bel. When he says, "A form of El is Bel or Baal, which simply means chief or head person. In ancient times, every tribe had its own Bel, who was thought to manifest through the living tribal chieftain, which gave rise to God-king status. It was the divine Baal who granted the tribe all of the good things in life, and to this day we celebrate Beltane as a feast." The archangel of the path is Sadkiel, which means righteousness of God or grace of God, also known as Sachiel. According to tradition, he's considered to be the angel of mercy. According to some writings, Sadkiel begins to the order of the Hashmalim, which equates with the dominations or dominions. And according to some traditions, he's meant to be the unnamed angel of the Lord who prevents Abraham from sacrificing his son. And so he's sometimes shown holding a dagger. Other sources also show him standing beside Michael on the battlefield holding a purple banner. The host of angels are the Shining Ones, or the Chasmalin, which means brilliant or shining ones. And it's very much the sphere of the blue, love and sort of wisdom ray. Some of the symbols of this particular sphere as well would be sort of the cross, the pyramid, the tetrahedron, and the shepherd's crook as well. Moving on to the sphere from the point of view of the sort of mythology. So it's the sphere of Jupiter. So as we expect, a lot of the majority of the gods are associated with the sphere, are of a kind of generous and giving nature. So a good example of this is the Egyptian god Amun. Amun came from when the army of the founder of the 8th century expelled the Hyksos rulers from Thebes in Egypt. And The local god of the time in Thebes was Amu, and he was credited with the army achieving victory. However, he was from that point on seen as the champion of the less fortunate and upholding rights of the poor. So he actually became known as the protector of the road and was worshipped and had sort of many temples built to honour him. And an interesting record of this comes from a votive stela from Dea Eldamina, which says, Amun, who comes at the voice of the poor in distress, who gives breath to him who is wretched, you are Amun, the Lord of the Silent, who comes at the voice of the poor. When I call to you in my distress, you come and rescue me. Though the servant was disposed to do evil, the Lord is disposed to forgive. The Lord of Thebes spends not a whole day in anger. His wrath passes in a moment. None remains. His breath comes back to us in mercy. May you be kind. May you forgive. It shall not happen again. Other gods that would be relevant, obviously, the element of this sphere is water. So, you know, you can also place some of the more watery gods. So things like Poseidon, I think, would fit quite well there. Other aspects would be things like Odin, Indra, Brahma. One that I think is particularly good way of imagining Kesed is St. Nicholas, so also the original Father Christmas. And, you know, if we look at the story of St. Nicholas, he's born in the 3rd century Turkey to wealthy parents. He's meant to have become very wealthy from his parents, so he sort of gave it all away. So there's kind of quite a lot of correlation there with the story of the Buddha. And one of the most famous stories about St. Nicholas is how he had the custom of hanging up stockings came into being. So there was a man with 3 daughters, and he was so poor he could not afford a dowry, so his daughter could not get married. And one night, Nicholas secretly drops a bag of gold down the chimney, which lands in a stocking over the fire. And so that's apparently where the whole concept of the stockings came from. And he's also the patron saint of sailors and had the power to calm storms. So then again, you get the idea of Kesed being the sort of generous benefactor and also linked with water. So if people want to do sort of further meditation on that, then I think Father Christmas, St. Nicholas, could be a good archetype to try and access that particular energy. So anyway, I hope everyone's enjoyed this week's podcast. Thanks very much for joining us. I hope you've found it interesting. If you have any comments or questions or anything like that, then please feel free to get in touch, and please visit our website at www.occultlondon.co.uk, where you can subscribe. We're also on Facebook as well, so please get in touch if you are interested, and we will catch up soon. Thanks, bye.